Hello, and welcome to today's A Marvelous Lunch Break. On today's show, we'll be looking at the man in the mirror and asking him to make it strange. And while the doctor's hopping on an astral plane over to China to learn right from Wong... honestly, I'm struggling with this movie, the names. Let's see. And if not, what would it take to Caecilius the deal?
Okay. Yeah.
That deal?
Yeah.
Are we all good? Okay. Dormammu, Ancient One, etc., etc. On with the show. Joining me as always is Miss Marvel herself, Anna Harrison.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
And speaking of ancient ones, Martin Carter.
Wow. Anna is older than me, even though she doesn't look it.
Sorry, I just had to get that one in there. If this is the first time you're tuning in, or if you're back for more, do note there are spoilers in this podcast. If you listen to us, why not slip on... Well, I haven't even said it yet. Why not slip on your sling ring and whip up a portal over to iTunes, rate the podcast, review it, and subscribe so you can get more of this in your ears on a weekly basis. What's wrong with that?
I don't know. I don't know if I was expecting something else. Anyway.
We had to drink with lunch.
Okay. So it wasn't an absolute failure last week. Anna, are you ready to get... the 20-second timer on again.
All right.
Give us another hot plot.
All right. I'm feeling less confident with this one, but...
Challenge Anna.
Okay.
Our new segment, yet to be formally named and copyright pending, but Challenge Anna is a... Go.
On a quest to cure his mangled hands, Dr. Stephen Strange becomes a magical sorcerer, learning to astral project and fight with glowy mind weapons. But before long, he finds himself in battle with the deluded Caecilius, who seeks to plunge the Earth into the dark dimension.
Whoa.
Oh, yes.
12 and a half.
Yes.
Smash that one.
Sort of stumbled on one of the words there. But yes. Oh, yeah.
Well done.
And
thank you.
Do you have a longer one as well? Or?
I do. I do.
Do we think we should get it again?
Should we?
I like the long one.
Yeah, the long one was good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll give this one a try, and this will be the one that pays for it all to see if we carry on with this particular segment or not.
Okay.
All right, 2 minutes.
Oh, whoa. I need to set the timer.
Okay.
You don't get to call the shots around here.
I think she does after this.
Watch. It's my one job left. Okay.
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go.
Mystical temple thing. It's Mads Mikkelsen, a.k.a. Caecilius, leading a team to steal books and cut librarians' heads off. But wait! Mysterious yellow robe monk is making the world spin and fighting with weird glowy weapons. Ooh, but they get away. Now it's Bindi Cumberbatch, a.k.a. Stephen Strange, is saving lives, laying down musical knowledge, and generally being a dick. Especially to Rachel McAdams, a.k.a. Christine. Bam! Car crash! Oh shit, Dr. Strange's hands are ruined, and he is not happy about it. Much money and whining later, he hears rumors of magical mystical healing, and he's off to find bald... Damn it, bald Tilda Swinton. Whoa, crazy mind-bending head trip with creepy crawly hands and trans-dimensional looky-loos. And now it's time to learn some shit. Reading, training montage, more book thievery, spinning ring voyages, and timey-wimey. And now Strange wants to know what it's all about, and he is not down with helping defend the Earth from crazy space monsters. Too bad! Explosions! Monks dying! Strange must battle Caecilius and co. With Red Cape's help and a quick open-heart surgery performed by Christine, he's got them cornered in a McEsher world, and the Ancient One shows up to lay down some hurt. Oh, shit! Turns out she was getting her skills from the same dark place as Caecilius and his crew, but it did her no good because now she's dead. Dead Ancient One wisdom gets Strange ready to take on the bad guys. Crazy backwards time fight. Wong alive, but evil Dormammu is closing in fast. So now it's time for the ultimate sacrifice. Endless time loop, hostage negotiation, and thus Strange is victorious. Dormammu takes Caecilius and crew and flees. Victory. Dormammu is pissed, and he is out of there to show up later as a bad guy. So now Strange is chilling in New York, protecting the world and hanging out with an Infinity Stone.
1:28:47 Yes. My favorite bit was the names you got wrong.
Oh, no.
And I think intentionally, like Dormammu and McEsher.
Crap, what is the name of that thing that I wrote it down completely wrong then?
What is it? Is it MC Escher?
Yes, that's exactly.
He's not on the bloody breakfast menu.
I thought you were trying to make some sort of like clever analogy with it. It was like a cheaper version of an MC Escher.
I definitely meant to say M.C. Escher.
Macasher.
Macasher.
Wow, that was
like
incredible.
Macasher if she's Scottish.
Yeah. Macasher.
That was really good.
Thank you.
I would like that as a permanent feature, please.
Okay.
Okay, permanent feature locked in.
Let's see if I can get it down to a minute. No, I'm not.
If you can get
that.
It down to a minute, we can stream it on Instagram because Instagram's video limit is a minute.
You're off the clock, Martin. It's lunch. We can not be in work.
social media ticking all the time.
Let's do it. I mean, my segment feels a little bit underwhelming in comparison.
No, never.
I'm going to read off the cast list now. I think this is probably the movie with the most Benedicts in.
Mm.
So starting off with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah, good one.
Rachel McAdams. Benedict Wong.
Mm-hmm.
Mads Mikkelsen. Tilda Swinton. The guy from Miss Congeniality.
And Benjamin Bratt.
That's about it. Everything after that is listed as like grunt number two or whatever. I think it's like brunette Mads Mikkelsen's mate and then like blonde Mads Mikkelsen's mate and that's it.
There's a lot of second, like tertiary characters in this one.
Who was the one in that Rachel McAdams played in Mean Girls? Regina George.
Regina George. Oh, Regina George.
Playing quite a different character in this.
I saw Regina George wearing sweatpants or whatever she's. Oh, God.
So, you know, let's get deep. Let's do some deep cuts straight away.
Yep.
We've been talking about this movie for a while now because Martin, throughout this whole charade that we've been on, this is the 14th episode now, right? Has not really been a fan of Doctor Strange. We've not spoken about it, but he's been reserved and doesn't really want to do this podcast, do you?
No.
Now, let me say, I was a bit of a defender of Doctor Strange. I was saying this is great, magic stuff. I don't know what you're going to say, but I think the rewatch might have turned me.
Oh, Dan. The exact same thing happened to me.
No!
Oh, no. I was so hoping that you were going to be here to bring me back into the Strange fold.
Here we go.
Victory will be marked.
Welcome, everyone, to another 45 minutes of shitting on the Marvel Universe. Martin, you are the one that's been holding back for the longest with this one. Give me your top hits and misses.
Right, so you know when we talked in Guardians of the Galaxy how Nebula feels like she's someone playing at science fiction in the schoolyard. This whole film is like that for me. It's like, oh, we've got a lead character who has the most wisdom. Let's call her the Ancient One. I have a ring that can make portals. I'll call it my sling ring.
Yeah.
And it's just so terrible. This whole charade. I mean, has anyone seen the Last Airbender?
No.
Oh God.
But I haven't seen it, but I know what you're gonna say.
Yeah.
This is like a worst. The Last Airbender is possibly the worst film I've ever seen.
Mm.
This film merges The Last Airbender and Inception, essentially.
Ooh.
There is nothing new or innovative about any of the elements in this film. We've seen all the crazy trippy montages in Ant-Man already. Those little tiny baby hands that come out of other hands. Why have we got that? Benedict Cumberbatch's awful American accent in this thing is just terrible. Tilda Swinton looks like a thumb. It's just
whoa, he's talking about the Ancient One like that,
and it's just like, oh,
don't you know that she's full of dark power?
How can we represent Eastern culture? It's like, oh, with a bit of mysticism
and
with
all white people
well, with kind of costumes that look like they fell out of the back end of The Last Samurai. all of it is terrible.
Let me give you some names of items in this movie.
Yeah, please do.
God.
The Eye of Agamotto. We know about that. It's a time stone. We're going to come on to that.
Yeah, okay.
Agamotto.
I'll let the Eye of Agamotto slide because that is like a really established thing in the Marvel Universe. Okay, so that's like, say, Mjolnir. It's an established Doctor Strange item.
Yeah.
Sling ring.
I mean, sling ring sounds like something that will like become a youth craze. You know, a fidget spinner's camera.
Yeah.
I've got my sling ring. Oh, don't take away my sling ring. Please, I'll be good. I'll put it away till lunch.
Oh, wow. Category is the Cloak of Levitation.
I mean, that is primary school level shit, isn't it? It's just like, oh, we've all got a power. What's yours? Mine's the hoverboard of hovering.
The cloak of levitation came to you. It's like, by what criteria?
It's like in Thor, it's like we're over-nouning everything now.
You know, this list is long.
There's so many words.
Should we go?
What are the boots called again?
Oh, we've got the vaulting boots of Valtor.
Yes. And then what's the tribunal one?
The staff of the living tribunal.
Yep. I mean, come on.
Oh, wow. There's more. There's the wand of Watoom.
Oh, God.
There's the crimson bands of Sitarak. The daggers of Davaroth.
Stan Lee was smoking something when he wrote these.
The lamp of Ichthalon. The rotunda of gateways.
Isn't rotunda
the rotunda of gateways?
The rotunda of gateways.
Anna, can you pass me that other beer?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm gonna keep naming until someone stops me.
I'm gonna stop you here. I'm gonna stop you here.
The Book of Cagliostro.
God.
See, I don't know whether you're making these up or these are actual things.
Oh, that would have been such a better segment. You should have come up with a list of like the real ones and the fake ones, and like you should have had Martin guess the fake.
When he downloaded the Italian list from.
Okay. That wraps this segment up.
Well, I've been looking forward to Martin's rant about this movie for a really long time. But to be fair, I was looking forward to it because I thought I was going to push back against it a bit. I am going to speak up a little bit in defense of the movie.
In which bit? Bit can you possibly defend in this tragic, tripe riddle?
I'll defend this movie.
Okay.
Post-credits would go.
Okay. Yes, I'm looking forward to talking about the post-credits. Okay, so I think that...
Did you just say I? Are you going to say I of Agamotto?
I am not going to say I of Agamotto.
I've been through that.
So when I came out of the cinema and when I saw this movie, I was really blown away. I so liked it. Like, I think... I mean, I know you say that we've seen sort of a similar thing before, like with the Quantum Realm and stuff like that, but I really appreciate the visuals of this movie, and I think seeing it in the big screen, the sort of that cinematic experience. And I've never really been into Doctor Strange's comics, but I've read ones where he sort of dipped in and out, and I always really liked him just like as the quick pop up. So when I saw this movie in cinema, I was like, oh, that was interesting. What an interesting way to bring magic into the MCU. I'm really excited to see Strange kind of interact with other people. Or with the other superheroes and see what dynamic that brings. And then I haven't seen it again since the cinema. And the rewatch, even though my TV screen's not small, I mean, it's not huge, but it's not small, I think having had the wonderment of the visuals taken away, like, all the flaws were just exposed to a level that I had completely overlooked when I was watching it in cinema.
You see, that's really interesting when you say you were blown away by the visuals, because I thought some of it was really lazy.
Really?
Like, this is the MCU's introduction to magic, apart from Thor and that world. But, you know, the way that they draw their kind of weapons out of light, or the way that they do the kind of portal things, do you not think that was just, like, lazy CGI work? Like, the way that they were designed, it was all kind of... Oh, this must look like how things look in the East. We've obviously never been. Nothing was of wonderment to me in this film. Like, even the bits where he's like flying through different dimensions and all that, it looked like they bought loads of like through a microscope of cells off Shutterstock. Like, there was nothing in it. Even when, you know, when he goes through that first bit, and, you know, when she kind of kicks him and he goes through those dimensions and you see Dumamu, I thought that was Thanos. I thought that giant head was Thanos
until
the end of the film. Yeah. And also, Anna, this might not be a reference for you, but Dan, did you ever watch Shooting Stars?
Oh, yeah.
And they used to go, Ufafu. I can never say Dumamu without going Dumamu.
No, that has been a long-standing
okay,
thing
so it's not
for
just
many
me.
Years. No.
Okay. But I thought if you've got, you know, 13 films now of... like, if you look at Guardians of the Galaxy, where they took the opportunity to do whatever they want and make something new and make something incredible, compared to Doctor Strange and just the shortcuts that they took, you could literally watch the Last Airbender and it's the same thing.
Oh, I don't know if anything will ever be as bad as Last Airbender, considering how I love that cartoon with, like, more passion than I can properly convey. I don't think it was as bad as The Last Airbender. I think...
And that was called The Last Airbender.
Yeah. You know what about the graphics, though? One thing that I was shocked about... Not shocked, maybe that's a bit... I wasn't like... but on a rewatch, I thought that... They were very, as much as it was colourful when they were travelling through all of the planes and everything, they stayed to a very limited kind of colour palette with the magic. It was like, the magic is either dark orange, if you're good, or
green,
dark red.
Red, yeah.
We very tinily saw some green, but I thought the actual physical magic that they did was just the burny orangey thing.
And the physical space in which they operate as well, so the what do you call it, like the compound in which they train and stuff, was really drab as well. It was like all this dark wood. Couldn't really see what was going on. You got to see like three areas and one of them was a library. One was
the worst guarded library ever in existence.
You shouldn't have to guard libraries. I mean, but even here we've got key fobs, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. So. And I mean, if you've got a library that's like...
No library, no books for you, Pepper.
Whoa!
But if you've got a library where the books are like containing the means of which to tear the fabric of the universe apart, you need to have a slightly better system than like a novice, as Strange is, can just like, you know, sling ring his way in there and make a fool of Wong.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that ring as an adjective.
One thing that I really did appreciate was how we kind of saw very little flex of Stephen Strange's like ability to be like an academic. It was like as soon as he knew he needed to learn something and it was posed to him as like a mental challenge to learn, you saw him like get the books, apply. He was walking with books around and he looked very kind of like smart and really applied himself quick. It's a boring story. So
but he's the most undeserving. Like, talk about... Like, Tony got his comeuppance, I think. Doctor Strange, Stephen Strange, he was... text driving and he went into that accident. We don't even know what happened to the other car, and he's awful to Rachel McAdams. He's vain, he has no redemption in this. Why does he get these powers? Why is he deserving of this great journey?
I honestly can't, and this is something that really bothered me on the second rewatch. It's so weird, I can't really explain like how much I really had a sense of wonderment and really enjoyed this movie when I saw it in the cinema. And it, man, there's so many bits that I've seen now on the rewatch that I can't like excuse. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, that even though like at the end, he is willing to sacrifice himself potentially endlessly to see that the Earth stays safe. But I felt like that moment wasn't deserved. So, okay. So the dead ancient one who, just a couple minutes ago, he was accusing and, you know, throwing out her secrets to like her closest student, and then he suddenly decides that he wants to save this world. And that, and so I think the overall message of Strange and the movie is that you and same kind of thing you get from like Caecilius and even Mordo. Oh my god, geez, these names. Is that you can't ever really get rid of your demons. They're always a part of you. Like his hands are still shaking at the end of the film. He hasn't cured that. And I would have so liked a moment where he had to sacrifice the full use of his hands to either keep these powers or to defend the Earth. Because if the message is your only option is to rise above your demons, and if he's going to be in conflict with his ego or trying to, you know, because at the end he sort of gave a bit of lip service to Christine. He's like, I was horrible to you, you're a good doctor. When he hands over the scalpel to the other guy being like, I need your help. I feel like all those beats were a little bit too subtle. Like that, I really wanted a bit more. I think for him, sacrificing like himself to save the Earth wouldn't have been as big a sacrifice as him deciding, I will never have the full use of my hands again if it means I can keep these powers so I can save the Earth. And I would have liked that to have been more of a thing.
Is there anything wrong, though, with a hero not being a perfect person?
Not at all. But I mean, Tony.
Any of them are Cap. Perfect.
Okay, Cap.
Yeah. He's so dreamy. But they all have an arc. They all have a narrative. They all have conflict. This is just like, I'm going to come into this circumstance of which I know nothing about and still be an absolute dick.
Yeah. He wasn't humble by his accident, was he? And he wasn't...
It was everyone else's fault that he wasn't better yet.
Yeah. And that's part of his character, but that was never fleshed out that much. He never saw anything big that changed his mind as to why he should be good. And I did not find myself... I don't mind if a character's not perfect. You know, it makes for interesting storytelling if they've got flaws and they've got issues. But there was just nothing that made me want to know more about Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
And I think a huge element that this movie, of course, at some point in this podcast, we'll compare it to Harry Potter because of magic. But I'm pretty new to the Harry Potter verse. I've only seen the first three movies. I've only read the first three books.
Join us in our next podcast. Yes.
But we whip the end of shape.
Pottery lunch. As
I, but one thing that I thought the Harry Potter movies were great at, especially the first one, is giving you this sense of wonderment of like a whole new world. I know that's a catchphrase from a totally different movie again.
Which also features a piece of fabric that has a personality.
I thought that cape was just like the rug. Yeah. I want them to team up, actually.
So, but my point, like, you got to Hogwarts for the first time, you're like, whoa, what's all this? And you can see it through the character's eyes that there's amazement and wonder at this whole new thing.
Gave it away, didn't she? Yeah. He was there for like 5 minutes and then she...
5 hours, like, that's ridiculous. Like, oh, he's been out there for 5 hours. It's like, so? I've had, like, airplane journeys longer than that.
All he's been doing is flying through some colours.
Yeah.
it was just, there was no sense of, like, wow, this magic's amazing. And the new thing is just like, oh, right, okay, I accept this now.
Yeah.
And it didn't. The magic didn't seem to have any real logic. I remember towards the end of the film where... I'm really struggling with names here. The baddie with the eyeliner.
Caecilius.
And his eyes look sore. I really wanted to like put some like germaline on
You need
them.
A good skincare routine, dude.
Yeah. But when they were chasing him through and they kind of flipped New York in on itself and then Tilda Swinton came in and she was flipping on themselves, there was just no logic. It was just like, how do we copy and paste a bit of the skyline in post-production to make it look like a kaleidoscope? I didn't feel like there was any use to any of that shapeshifter. I know there was the mirror dimension where you can't, you know, impact real world, but... It just seemed to be like, we're running away from you and you're running away from me and we might have to change direction in the way that we run. Like, there was no logic to it. It didn't add anything.
Yeah, and when they tipped a building on the side and everyone was suddenly falling down the edge of a building, they just landed on the ground like normal.
Yeah.
It was like, I didn't realize that your magic powers included the fact that you would be impenetrable.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mind that scene so much because I quite like that... that Strange was in this sort of reality, and like anytime they kind of closed up on him, like he had no idea what was going on either. Like sort of his face and the way he was running is like, okay, now run this way and now run that way. And I don't know, I enjoyed at least that more than some of the other bits that I thought were even, they're far less sensical than that one, to be honest. And I think also I don't understand the transition when he suddenly became good enough at his powers to impact all this, like he and you didn't really see his breakthrough, like even when he finally got the sling ring to work, it happened off screen.
Like the moment where he gets the cape of levitation, is that what it's called, the coat?
Yeah, it's called the coat
is it the coat,
the coat, the
cape?
Let's
I'm sure it's the cape, is it the cape of levitation?
So like that moment where he rises up behind you know, in the window the circular windows behind him, like that was a cool moment. And obviously
cloak,
of course. Like that was a cool moment, but yeah, he didn't feel like he deserved that cloak, and that felt.
Why did the cloak like him? Well, the cloak was a bit of a dick too, to be fair. Yeah. So that makes sense.
But if we're doing, so there's one thing I wanted to ask both of you in this film, which I thought would be big redemptive factors for both of you. I'll go Dan first. Must be the highest glass shatter count of the whole MCU. Like when they're just smashing through all those cabinets.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd have quite enjoyed that.
I don't like that there's glass everywhere. It's not something I just notice.
Oh, God. Also, like when the agent one smashes through that glass awning, though, when she hits the ground, that was brutal. Like that was a brutal death.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Really brutal.
And Anna, the montages.
Training montages,
There were so many. Like even the final Dormammu montage was endless, literally.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I like the training montages okay. But I think, again, this sort of... I think exactly sort of what Dan was saying about that kind of sense of wonderment. Because I think no matter how many times I watch Harry Potter, I'm always so excited to go back to Hogwarts. Like, that is a feeling. And I think, again, I don't know why I was so forgiving the first time, but now sort of what you said about the really, really muted colors in the training area. And I did like the sort of, you know, strange, like, astral projecting reading and, you know, kind of getting used to his surroundings. But I definitely would have liked there to have been just something more, also something more, like, important happening. Because, again, that I think it was that, I didn't feel like there was that much of a payoff in this training montage. Because at no point, unlike when you have with Ant-Man or something like that, you see people sort of struggling and then you see his breakthrough. Whereas he, for a little while, couldn't do the Sling Ring. And then suddenly, again, his own life is at risk. Like, he's just purely motivated by self-preservation. That's what pushed him through. Yeah, and I think also that if this has been around for so long, like this this training facility, this magic capabilities, I so wish we could have seen more kind of real world interaction. Like how, like, they've got these bases in Hong Kong, New York, and London, terribly guarded again as well. Why is there just one guy who's very easily killed, apparently?
And is there any explanation as to why they're spread all around the world?
When they showed the globe, yeah, I need to make like a net or something. Everything happens in London, obviously.
And Hong Kong and New York. And
why are American film companies obsessed with filming things in London?
I don't know.
There are quite a lot of London in the MCU, haven't we?
Tax breaks. It's cheaper filming.
Yeah, perhaps.
You know, one question that I have for both of you as well. Can you explain to me what the threat in this movie is?
Oh, yeah, this is the other real issue.
What is at stake?
So I thought it was that the baddies, I mean, I'm saying baddies like we're in the playground. The baddies wanted to go over to the dark side to be part of something purer and more whole and to be at one with the wider universe of infinite possibilities.
I mean, it's called the dark side.
Pretty big indicator there. I think, yes, but so... Matt Mickelson's background is that it's literally given like a throwaway line. He never talks about it again. His whole family died. He was, you know, torn apart by that, I guess. Came to the place from the Agent One to find some healing. And he somehow discovered this Dormammu universe, this dark dimension. And ooh, he's like, oh, there's no death. We get to live forever. We're just like oneness with the simple world. So the whole earth has to go. Like, everyone is now subjected to this type thing. Yeah, I did not get it. I didn't get it. Like, the goal didn't seem to be more power. It literally just seemed to be, let's get Dormammu here.
And also, there was... Like, that could have been really interesting if that place they were trying to get them absorbed into or had been another universe that we'd already experienced. Mm. Like, if that had connected somehow to a world in Guardians of the Galaxy that had perhaps, you know, if they're trying to, you know, like, nowhere is
just
that,
something.
Just something. Yeah, something. Like, there's no reference to the other Avengers either, is there?
No.
In that entire film, and you think...
There's one mention how they say, like, okay, so the Avengers protect the Earth, the physical realm, we look after the spiritual realm. So I think Wong says it. Once.
But you'd think there'd be a more of a
yeah
something between at this point, you know. Ant-Man references the Avengers in his film, and there was, yeah, it was just,
I think, one another reference to another film, another kind of comparison to another film is we keep hearing in this movie the dark side, right? And that immediately is like Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bad.
The dark side, and it's just you. In Star Wars, you get an explanation of why the dark side is so preferable for some people. Mm-hmm. A very easy explanation. Untold power. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can control things. You can do whatever you want. We can solve all the galaxy's problems because we'll be so goddamn powerful, etc., etc. This is like, we want to be full of dark side juice because the big purple man in the sky that's not the other purple guy you know about.
But it looks very similar.
It's like, you know... Let's do this. And they've not got anything to draw on to effectively explain why that's something that they want. Yeah. It's like, we've got this ambition, we've got this thing we want to do. We've got no evidence as to why it's good.
And the H1N1 has been using it all this time anyway. So obviously there's a way to use it responsibly.
The way that they turned...
Mordo turned on her fast.
I was like, this is the person who's brought all of you together, yeah, has trained you, has shown you this other world.
Apparently saved the world many times.
Have some respect. Like, that was... I couldn't get over that, that they all were just like, oh, I'm going to side with Doctor Strange on this. It was just such a quick turnaround. I was like, what are you doing?
Mm. Mordo in general, like, he was just sort of the exposition fairy the entire film, wasn't he? Which is a shame, because I really like Chidiwa Ejiofor. Like, I think he's a great actor, and he was just, I think, really underused in this.
And they really turn it... he turns in the post-credits. I know what would be...
Is he gonna have an impact in Infinity War?
So Mordo is Strange's nemesis. Like, that throughout the comic, I think he is like a big villain. So I don't know if that was like a kind of bigger payoff for people. The first they heard his name, they're like, oh, interesting, we can see what turned Mordo against Strange. But even that, and I think that would have been a more interesting thing to explore. Like, if Caecilius's thing was, there are too many sorcerers, like, look at all this power, I'm gonna kill all the sorcerers, and Dormammu's gonna take care of that very quickly. That's
always trying to overthrow the Ancient One.
It was really fun. Because actually, even Madge Mikkelsen, who I really like, and I've really enjoyed him in some other things, I think I saw in an interview once that he even said that there were times where he felt really lost during this film because there was so much CGI happening around him. He didn't interact. He really struggled to find a way to interact with everything. And I think you can see that a few times in his movement. I mean, he's sort of known to have the same facial expression for most things that he does. But I think this was used to even worse effect in this film.
Okay. Let's have a little bit of fun then.
Okay.
A little quiz. A quiz for you both.
All right.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
Sorry, we're just topping up our alcohol because we need it for the...
I feel so bad. I just like this movie so much. Anyway, we can cut all this out.
I have a quiz question for you after this.
But you go first. Pop music musicians.
Oh, no.
Named in this movie.
There's six.
Names. I don't think I could name one.
What? There's some very obvious scenes.
So, but they say they're... Oh, no. I know exactly what you're referring to now. I couldn't figure it out. Okay. Adele.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
When are these people... Wait, what did I miss?
This is when Strange is making fun of Wong. He's like, oh, you only have one name? But like Adele? Like Beyonce? And then Wong is listening to Beyonce later. I thought that was quite funny, actually.
Yeah, I got a laugh out of that. Yeah. That got a... Squeezed a laugh out of me.
Oh, no. That's only two.
What did...
There was the person on the iPod when he was doing surgery.
Oh, when
he was
being quizzed, yeah. And he got... And
was that... that was a blues jazz singer?
You getting there. Bob Seger.
Oh, yeah, Bob Seger.
You missed Drake.
Oh, yeah, Drake. That was funny,
You missed Bono. Oh, yeah. And you missed Eminem.
Oh, yeah. I'll turn it on.
this film is the Bono of the MCU.
This film is crap, right?
My question: which product you would find in a supermarket bought product placement in this film and Ant-Man?
Ooh, interesting.
I was outside Asda the other day, and I overheard someone talking about Colgate strips. Do you remember those? They were little strips that you put on your ting? put on your tong.
It was not Colgate strips.
That was something that got left in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I remember those.
They were like that kind of turquoisey colour.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Right. Okay, so it's not safes, even though that was a prominent feature.
So I can get...
Is it a watch? No, it's not a watch.
Oh, that's a good shout.
You can get in a supermarket.
Oh, again, in a supermarket. Okay.
So the it's featured in the Turn Back Time.
Okay.
If I could turn... No, I'm not going to do that. Damn, yeah, did it. in the bit, so where, you know, where he's in Hong Kong and he's turning back time and the building.
Oh, interesting.
And then in Ant-Man, it is a scene which has ants in it.
Oh.
Which doesn't really narrow it down.
Pepsi.
No.
Just surely on that like Hong Kong bit, there was like billboards and stuff there. Was it on a billboard?
It was on like a neon sign.
Yeah, cool. Oh, wow. This is an interesting one. Can you give us...
Obviously, it's really paid off. They've got great ROI from this product.
Can you tell us, is it a is it a household product?
Oh, is it your cult?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
You got that the Ant-Man scene, of course.
Yeah, actually, no, I do better with sort of lit... this is rude. I do better with lit visual, so I was literally just walking down the street in the Hong Kong scene, and I was looking at the... Yeah, there's like a shape of like a Yakult thing. Anyway.
That's mental. That's a superpower.
Whilst you're there, can you tell them to not make this film?
It's too late by that. It'd be too late by Hong Kong.
That is probably the most interesting thing about this movie. I'm not going to lie. I'm not looking back on it with nice glasses of beautification. It's...
Okay, but quickly though. So, you know how so often we say, could this movie have been a part of a different... Like, could this have been part of a different film? But the one important thing that does happen in this film that might have been hard to shoehorn another one, we've got to talk about it. It's the damn Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
My God, I can't wait for them to be over.
Time gem just popping up.
Yeah.
It's been on Earth whole time.
Is that the last one? We know where all of them are now.
No, we're still waiting for one more.
Okay.
Which we think is in Wakanda.
Oh, might be in Wakanda,
Potentially. Is it Soul Stone?
Yeah.
I think it's unless that's the one from Guardians. One of them.
No, that's the power. The Power Stone is the Guardians.
Yeah,
Dan, you've done a readout in one of the...
Yeah.
We're looking
for one of them.
I
think it's
the
Soul Stone.
That would make sense. That feels like that would be something that's in Wakanda. That feels like a Wakanda thing.
Did you notice in Doctor Strange when he he's wearing it as a necklace?
Yeah.
That it doesn't dangle? Ooh. I don't know if you noticed this, but when he's running through the hospital, you know when he's leaning forward because he's been stabbed?
Yeah.
It doesn't... Because obviously it's a heavy weight on the edge of two
Isn't
strings.
Is it a pin, though? It kind is of it like, a necklace or is it a pin?
Well, it's on string around his neck.
Yeah,
oh,
he puts it on that way.
Yeah, but it like stays pressed against his chest rather than dangling.
It's all right. It's a hat. Otherwise, you go away and look up a picture of the Eye of Agamotto as a hat.
Oh my God! Well, I'm really glad they didn't do that. Jesus.
It's terrible.
So the sorcerers people. Do they have a name? This group of sorcerers? I guess not.
Baddies.
But they're the good guys. It doesn't matter.
Oh, the goodies.
It does not matter. So they've had this Infinity Stone the whole time. And so do we think it's just been like the Ancient One's been too powerful for Thanos to make that one a target? Because he's pretty much tried to get all the other ones. Or at least he's like had a goal to like kind of get the other ones. But this one... I'm surprised Thanos didn't pop up at all in this movie.
I wonder if they managed using their wisdom-y stuff to like... hide it,
maybe,
if it's in like a mirror dimension or if that room it's in is funny. But I wonder if that stone, I think Dan, you might say this, well, is gonna have a big role in Infinity War in resetting things, because you can go backwards, can't you?
Right.
Dan set up.
Okay. No, we're done with talking about Doctor Strange.
Yeah, okay,
right?
Yeah,
can we do does it start does it go?
This is what I'm gonna do.
Okay. Right,
let's zip through this real quick. Okay.
No. Okay.
Stay or go. Who wants to go first?
It can go.
Oh.
Okay. I think. Okay. Here's the thing. I think it can go.
Okay.
Because in so many ways, I think his introduction in Thor was fine.
I like
him. Like, if he was there just the whole time, he was sort of set up. But the thing is, I wouldn't want him to encroach any more on Ragnarok. I'd want Ragnarok to stay exactly as it is, and I think that'd be a fine introduction. The only question is. Is there a payoff with this time stone that we don't know of yet?
I'd be happy with him to be like a kooky doctor who lives in New York.
Yeah,
and
he
happens to have the one.
You know, like his backstory's fine. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Was a surgeon, lost his fingers.
I mean,
did
it
this
is
thing.
Iron Man's story. His story is Iron Man's story, 100%.
But I feel like his backstory, his origins, could have been covered off in a cutscene.
Definitely.
In another movie.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for him to have his own movie. And I am Ant-Man. Having his own movie, it's not the best movie. But I'm endeared to Ant-Man because of his movie.
Totally.
This movie does the opposite of that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't care about him because of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, Doctor Strange.
Yeah. It's a go for me too.
Go in the bin.
This has not gone the way I thought it was going.
No, I thought we were going to come in here and be like, visuals, sky, the
I'm
color
really
purple.
Happy with how
no,
this
Martin's all
out.
Vindicated.
Martin. Well, you got your vindication with Ant-Man. Come on. I warmed up to Ant-Man.
What's my vindication? I'm right with secret bloody Avengers. That's the goddamn
That's gonna be
vindication.
It.
I can't wait for it not
okay.
to be secret.
So let me just say that by the time we next sit down, I will have seen Avengers Infinity War 3 times.
Oh my god, that's so weird. But yes, amazing.
Oh my god.
I will have seen it once.
So incredibly excited for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
We could theorize all day. So let's just do that, okay? Secret Avengers is happening in this goddamn movie. In some way, we are getting a Secret Avengers lineup. Whether it's for a part of this movie with the guys in Wakanda, or whether it's as a result of this movie we get a Secret Avengers crew, I have no idea. But there is something happening there with an undercover team of Avengers.
Okay.
Fact. I'm not even saying it's a theory. Fact, right? The other thing that is happening at the end of this movie, okay? I believe it. Thor is wiping out Thor. Thanos is wiping out half the universe by clicking his fingers. End of the movie. Done. It's foreshadowed in the goddamn trailer.
And you can see that working, having cutscenes over kind of different parts of the universe. You know, you could see that happening over different worlds that we've seen throughout the entire MCU. Like, you know, nowhere could be wiped out.
Yeah.
Asgard's already gone, but, you know, another one in the Tree of Life.
Mm.
Yeah, well, we can see... Obviously, we've got Earth, but we've got the Vanaheim that we've seen. We've seen more than just nowhere.
Nova
Prime.
Nova Prime,
We've seen tons... Which we saw about 4 or 5 planets in Guardians and Guardians 2.
And Thor, you've got those other worlds as well.
We're so exposed to the rest of the universe now. And I think it's all building to Thanos causing some problems.
God.
Let me give you my crackpot theory.
Okay.
Now. That's a theory that I could, you know, I could argue about. Yeah. But it's well founded. You know what I mean? In like... actual hints that have been left. Let me give you my 100-to-1 out there in the distance, unrealistic, ridiculous, but what if?
Okay.
Right. Fantastic Four.
Oh. Oh, really?
Do
you want
that
to happen?
A little
bit. Isn't one of the new Fantastic Four another character in?
Yes. Yes, so Killmonger is...
Killmonger can't suddenly become
not that
a
Fantastic
Human
Four.
Torch.
A new... Not, not the
Fantastic
Four.
Because the other Fantastic Four, is the Human Torch, is Captain America.
Yeah, so not that Fantastic Four. Not this Fantastic Four, but a completely new Four. Okay?
Oof. Interesting.
I know it's great, but Thanos and the multiverse and... space and fixing everything with time is so Reed Richards. It's so Fantastic Four. It's incredibly. This just stinks of a Fantastic Four storyline.
We can't but more characters. Four new people.
But we know who they are. Think Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who Fantastic Four is. You've got the guy who's on fire, you've got the big man made of rocks, you've got the lady who goes invisible, and you've got the stretchy man.
But no one's got done. But does anyone have good memories of them?
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It does not matter because they'll see them in the Marvel Universe and they'll be like, is that the Fantastic Four? And if you don't know who the Fantastic Four, you'll be like, is that the Fantastic Four? And they'll fix the multiverse and everything will be fine. And I think what we're getting is with that snap where Thanos wipes out the universe is that we will see the universe rebuilt but changed. And Fantastic Four will be part of that change. That's how they shoehorn them into the Marvel Universe.
Do you need a brown paper bag to breathe into?
I think I need a tinfoil. But I'm just saying that right now, and I'm going to sit back and I'm going to let you guys have your theories. But I want to get that out there.
Okay.
In case I'm right. And then I can sit back and I can be like, well, you know, he said it on episode 14 of A Marvelous Lunch Break.
So I'm not obviously not as well versed in the world of Marvel as you two are. So it's harder for me to make giant predictions like that. But I think a few things that we might see. So Arnie, you always say that Marvel is always character driven, always driven by a character's decisions. So I think we might see a character make an unexpected decision. So that could be Gamora, it could be someone completely left field who changes the course of the plot and is a big surprise. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if Captain Marvel shows up, if that's because there's so much secrecy about this film. Like there isn't all the premieres, there isn't, you know, the trailers have been essentially recuts of the same footage every time. Like it's really, really locked down. I wonder if, I don't think it's Fantastic Four, but I think it's a new character or someone who we haven't seen before who is a surprise.
Well, I guess we've got the Peter Dinklage question.
Yeah.
Who is Peter Dinklage playing?
Could he be Peter Parker? No, Peter, what's he called? Reed Richards?
Peter Parker.
Why you can't have Fantastic Four.
But you know what?
I would be
in for that.
Yeah, that'd be so interesting.
I would be so in for that. He might, but I, you know, when I was going through this, I thought he might be, because I went into really crackpot territory. I was like, what if Peter Dinklage is Galactus, and this is a whole swerve, and they just drop in a whole new bad guy, and it's like you were thinking of Thanos this whole time. Thanos comes down, they get rid of him, and then suddenly it's like, here's this guy to eat an actual planet.
I'll actually be furious if they get rid of Thanos in the first, like, 20 minutes. I'll be like, what?
Imagine the swerve.
Oh, my God.
But that was super crackpot, which is why I didn't say it.
Yeah.
But you've said it now.
I've said it now. But, you know, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. And I do think there's going to be a surprise person in the Hulkbuster.
Interesting.
Oh, I really hope it's not Pepper.
I really hope it's not Pepper. I feel like it could be... It's either going to be a remote control, which would be a bit... By some, like, Shuri, which would be fine.
Mm.
Or... Actually, that might be quite cool. Or it's someone like... It's someone... Who does Iron Man trust? Black Widow.
Yeah.
What about Rhodey?
No, because we see him in that scene, flying.
Yeah, he's flying behind him. Yeah.
Oh, wow. But we don't see Iron Man.
I don't remember
seeing
Iron
Man. Just in the Hulkbuster.
Yeah.
Tony's dying!
Ugh.
Tony's dead.
Come on, Arnie, give us your...
Well, this is going to disappoint you, but I really don't have much. I mean, I have been doing like a proper blackout on this. I really don't want to get spoiled in any way. And I think you're right. I think there is probably a thread that's now been in the last... Definitely in like phase 3, that there's one other thing that will... tie into this last movie that we haven't. Maybe a couple people have noticed it, but it's going to end up being like a big like turning point in this film. I hate to say it, but I think Nebula is probably going to have a pretty big role as well. I think Gamora and Nebula probably have something.
Come on.
No, I don't want her to, but I think Nebula's closeness to Thanos, I think is something's going to happen there.
You know what? I tell you why I don't see it.
Okay.
Is just because the profile of Karen Gillan isn't as big as, and it, like the, you know, it's been they've not put someone who's not a really high profile actor into a really important, not a big role,
but
role that's crucial.
I'm not saying she's crucial. I'm not saying like it's gonna live and die on Nebula, but I think there's gonna be something there where she will be.
And not like, that Karen Gillan's not good. Let me just say
she's
that
not good in this film,
but. I mean, I think, yes, we're going to expect a big death, whether it's Iron Man or Captain America, but I think there'll also be someone else who dies that you weren't expecting.
Maybe Thanos will kill Nebula.
Maybe. Ooh, redemptive.
Roll the dice.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to die?
Oh, man. You know what? I could kind of see Tony and Cap running into the breach together. Like, the two of them together doing something to try to save everyone, to bring it all together again. I can see them both going. I think you're right, something big's got to happen to Tony. In so many ways, this entire MCU arc has been about Iron Man in so many ways. But I really don't know. I really don't know. And I am so excited that I don't know. I'm so excited that I really have. It could, the Fantastic Four could show up. I don't know. Like, Wolverine could show up. I have no idea. Like, and I would, like, anything. I'm really excited that I have no idea. Yeah.
Do you know who'd be a pretty good candidate for a death? Who? I mean, I think that I'm really torn between, is it going to be like Game of Thrones, where it's just like a mass cult, or is it going to be one really poignant Captain America star death? But if I'm leaning onto there'll be multiple deaths, I think a really interesting death would be Loki.
Because, for real this time, yeah.
Because he's like, him and Thor's relationship has been so crucial to Thor's story arc, and Loki has a really big kind of part in Earth. Like he really messed up Earth, didn't he? And it could be interesting that his last stand could be to protect it.
I would like
and
that.
He could have learnt from losing Asgard. I don't know, there'd be something interesting there, I think, about Loki sacrificing himself.
Yeah, that's a really interesting idea. I really hope it's not a quick throwaway death, though, because there is that brief clip of him in the trailer where he looks like properly scared, like he has this,
where he's handing over, is he handing
yeah it
over
looks like
Tesseract,
he's handing over the Tesseract. He looks really afraid.
Vision getting that stone ripped out of his head.
Oh, that's gonna be
it's
interesting.
It's gotta happen. Right?
Yeah.
Because unless, if that doesn't happen, how does the gauntlet get all the stones, and how does Thanos click his fingers and wipe out half of the universe?
Vision's gone, but I'd quite like Tony Stark to put Vision back into some sort of portable device. So like,
yeah, to save him, preserve him.
So like,
Scarlet Witch got her powers through the scepter. Does that mean Thanos can control her once he has that stone?
Ooh.
No, I think she has more agency.
Don't know. I mean, that's really interesting, because their enhanced powers are completely new, because they're X-Men, they're mutants, but they're not. They're enhanced.
Have we seen Hulk in the trailer?
No, but we know he's probably going to be with the Guardians, because that's where Thor is.
Yeah, so he's in space somewhere. Oh my god, I don't know. Like, I just don't even know.
Could Star-Lord
bloody hell
die?
Oh no, Guardians 3 is confirmed.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, and we know Strange can't die, because Strange is confirmed as well. If Captain Marvel shows up, that would be.
Because if you need like a very intelligent person, and it's not Reed Richards. Yeah. I think it'd be great to call on someone like, because we know that she exists in this timeline as well, because Captain Marvel's set in the 90s, so she would be here and have her
powers.
Or
does she? I'm not even being crazy. When history... Right,
you look
okay.
A little bit crazy.
Oh my God. I was speaking to my friend this week, and he said, right, that I'm going doing a little Michael Peña thing, right? He said that a friend suggested to them a theory of... one where Thanos wipes out half the universe, but then we see something happen with the time stone, some sort of, we've got to move back time to relive time to recreate the universe, sort of some weird wobbly stuff. Is Captain Marvel actually, because you've got the question of where's Captain Marvel been this whole time? So is what we're seeing in the Captain Marvel movie going to be time rewriting itself? And this is what happens if Cap never came out the ice.
Interesting.
But the only fly in that ointment maybe is we've got Ant-Man and the Wasp, and they're sort of in an established world already.
Unless they go subatomic and come back out in the 90s. It's like, oh, everyone's wearing chokers.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is that Ace of Base?
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Something stupid is happening in this movie. I'm mega excited.
So excited.
But beforehand, listeners, we are some podcasts away from getting to that. Beforehand, we will be back next week, and we will be discussing Guardians of the Galaxy DOS.
The deuce.
Oh my God.
I
mean, I feel the same way, but let's just hold that for a few minutes.
What have we got left then?
We've got Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
We've got Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
We've got Black Panther.
Yeah.
And we've got Avengers Infinity War.
Ragnarok.
Oh my God, we've got Thor Ragnarok.
So remind me of the audience. We've got Guardians of the Galaxy 2, then Spider-Man.
Spidey, yeah.
And then Thor, and then Black Panther.
Then Avengers.
Yeah.
And... If you are watching along, make sure that you watch Guardians 2 by next week.
Yep.
And then get on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Casts, download your favorite podcast. And then after you've listened to that, click on A Marvelous Lunch Break. And we'll be here waiting to talk about that movie, tell you our thoughts on the second jaw out into far, far space. And I don't think they're going to be that positive by the look on your face, Martin, but we'll see. Maybe it'll be the opposite of Doctor Strange. Maybe on a second watching, it'll be all wows.
We'll see.
We'll see. Anyway, between now and then, listeners want to find you both on the socials. Where are you?
They can get me on Instagram, on A Marvelous, two N's, two L's.
And Martin, how about you?
Please don't dox me. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, Martin Loves.
Was that a shout out to
my friend Dox?
Doxer Strange.
Oh, no.
And I am at DVM Preston across Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Really quickly, 60 seconds. Let's hit it.
Well, the post-credits scene all does is confirm that, yeah, Doctor Strange should have just been in Ragnarok. That would have been his introduction. Done. Yeah,
absolutely. And the final one?
What was the final one? Oh, Mordor? Oh, God.
Mordo.
Mordo. He's bad.
Yeah, he basically takes the legs away from Benjamin Bratt.
So I thought that guy with who had his spine legs problem, he'd have been really interesting as a major character.
Yeah.
I thought if he'd have been the baddie or...
And he should have been able to fight Mordo with magic stuff. He picked up a crowbar, but surely he can...
Magic.
Smack him around. Anyway.
There's a sling ring Mordor Lord of the Rings joke in here. But I'm not going to make it. I'm going to save that for another more funny podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.